Welcome back to Niaga Spotlight with me, Tamina Kausji. Moving on to future affairs. Today, we're looking at Bursa Malaysia's updated listing framework. Now, Bursa Malaysia recently issued amendments to its ACE market listing requirements with regards to the transfer of listing framework from the LEAP market to the ACE market. These amendments, in fact, took effect on the 1st of April, just over a month ago. Joining me in the studios now for this discussion is Azhar Mohamed Zabidi, Director Origination and Listing with Bursa Malaysia. Azhar, thank you so much for making time to join us in the studio.
My pleasure.
Right, so let's go straight into it. These LEAP market to ACE market amendments were undertaken to facilitate eligible LEAP market listed firms to graduate, so-called, to ACE market. How are they addressing existing shareholder concerns?
Okay. Perhaps before I answer that question, it may be useful for me to just provide some perspective.
Sure.
First of all, Bursa is made up of three markets. The main market, which everyone is quite familiar with, was established many, many years ago for companies that have already a certain level of track record in terms of profitability, size and scale. We also have the ACE market, which came later. And this company, this market basically is for companies that may not necessarily be profitable, but are able to demonstrate growth.
Right.
Now, the ACE market is a sponsor-driven alternative market. And I know that's a mouthful, but it's basically for companies that have very strong growth prospects. And recognizing the need for even smaller companies to access the capital market, companies that we refer to as emerging companies, we established the LEAP market quite recently in 2017. Now, this is an advisor-driven, qualified market, and it's important for us to make this distinction because only sophisticated investors are actually allowed to invest in LEAP market IPOs.
Right, and then you may have a little bit of a disconnect or a mismatch because successful, for example, emerging SMEs here are not necessarily those best suited for regulatory frameworks.
Yes, it's meant to be a light touch in terms of the entry requirements. And because of this, we limit it to only the sophisticated investors, which I'll explain a little bit more.
Sure.
Now, with these three markets in place, we enable businesses at different levels of development to access capital through Bursa Malaysia. So if you look at the LEAP market and the framework, the LEAP market was specifically designed to address the funding gap for SMEs. Now, as you know, SMEs make up more than two-thirds of our economy. And it's not easy for companies like these small companies to raise capital or even to get conventional borrowings. So the LEAP market allows companies to not just enhance their profile and their visibility, but more importantly, they can access capital through Bursa Malaysia in a regulated and efficient manner. But the LEAP market is only open for sophisticated investors, as I mentioned. And when I say sophisticated investors, I'm talking about high net worth individuals. There are other qualifications as well per the SC requirements. But typically, these types of investors have a much higher risk tolerance and appetite.
Sure.
Absolutely. So unlike ACE and Main, which is open to the general body of investors, naturally the LEAP market has lower liquidity. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons for it. Number one, sophisticated investors typically hold on to their shares longer and they wait for the value of the company or for the company to actually achieve certain milestones and rise in value before they actually exit or sell the shares. But the other thing is, only 10% of a company's issued share capital is offered during an IPO when they go for a LEAP listing. So in terms of liquidity, you've got sophisticated investors and obviously only a small pool. So the so-called free float for these much smaller companies compared to main and ACE market companies, where it's 25% of your total issued share capital that's available to the public. So going on to answer your question, with the LEAP transfer framework in place, it provides the existing shareholders of the LEAP listed company several options. Number one, it allows the promoters or the key owners of the company a clearer path in terms of how they can move to the ACE market, which previously did not exist.
Okay, so this is brand new, and how's the reception been? I know it's just been about a month or so.
It's been very encouraging. In fact, we know for a fact that several companies anticipating that we were going to come up with this framework, had already started preparing for it months ahead.
Right.
So
we're
expecting,
indeed.
Yes, we're expecting a number of these companies to cross over or apply to cross over pretty soon. So the clarity is there. And this is very important because the advantage is that when a company first sets out to list at the early stages, they now know I can go from, to put it plainly, from kindergarten to primary and
all the way to uni
secondary
and beyond.
University and beyond.
Sure.
So you have that certainty. But for investors, these so-called sophisticated investors who participated in the IPO at the early stage, when the company first went to the lead market, they have two options. They don't necessarily have to follow the company to the ACE market.
Mm-hmm.
They can exit. So there has to be an exit offer for them. Or at the same time, they can just continue and follow along and move to the ACE market.
Okay, brilliant. So I'm actually going to speed us along a little bit through the conversation and look a little bit more at focused exchange traded funds. Tell us exactly what these ETFs are and how would investors typically be investing in these ETFs and also perhaps making returns about from them.
Okay, sure. What are ETFs? Well, ETFs are exchange traded funds. These are financial products listed and traded on the stock market, which combines two features. It's both like an index fund, but it also is like ordinary shares as well in terms of how easy it is to buy and sell. We currently have more than 15 ETFs already listed on the exchange, and there are several different types of ETFs. Now, the thing is, ETFs focus on different things. It can be on equities, it can be on fixed income or bonds, for example, and it can be on commodities. Now, this is where the underlying assets will differ from one ETF to another. But by investing in ETFs, investors can gain exposure to a specific geography, say, for example, the Americas, a specific market, an industry or a commodity like gold.
And that's going to make all the difference, particularly in the years to come.
Correct. And obviously, you can even choose specific themes like Sharia or growth. So there are various types of
ESG,
ETFs.
Perhaps.
ESG, absolutely.
Very
right.
Popular these days.
Absolutely, very, very popular. But investors will have to make the decision and choose which one that they are interested to gain exposure to. Best example, Asia's first Sharia-compliant ETF, my ETF Dow Jones Islamic Markets Malaysia Titans 25, I know that's a mouthful, which trades on Bursa Malaysia, where investors can gain exposure to the 25 leading Sharia-compliant companies in the country. So how do you invest in, how do you make returns? Well, it's no different to investing in stocks and shares. The value of the ETF would reflect the value of the underlying asset that it represents. So in the case of, say, easy example, an ETF where the underlying is gold, the value of the ETF would move up and down as the price of gold would move up and down. So one would naturally make a profit when they sell the ETF at a higher price than when they first bought the ETF.
Right, well understood. Before we move into closing, of course, I would love for you, Azhar, to tell me a little bit more about Bursa's recently launched ETF campaign.
Ah, okay. This is very important. The exchange is very committed to expanding its products and what have you. So for lesser-known products such as ETFs, we think that building greater awareness is very, very important. So to encourage investors to participate and invest in ETFs, we recently launched a campaign called ETF Rewards Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign is aimed at creating greater awareness for the investing public to invest in listed ETFs. And investors who invest in the Bursa listed ETFs during the campaign period stand a chance to win fully paid trips to Langkawi, Bali, and even as far as Tokyo. So why not try investing in Bursa listed ETFs today and stand a chance to win some incredible experiences. You can visit our platform at Bursa Marketplace.
Right, wonderful. And looking once more at Bursa's exchange IPO pipeline in 2023, what would you say is the latest in Q2 for 2023 across all three markets, just before we close, Azhar?
For the first quarter, we've already seen 10 IPOs, and this include two main market IPOs, seven ACE market IPOs, and one LEAP market. But in In May alone, we're expecting 5. In fact, 1 already happened 2 days ago.
Right.
So the we're expecting for this period, not less than about the first half of the year, not less than about 18, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall objective for the year, the key objective is to get closer to 40. We had 35 last year, 30 the year before. So the numbers are keep growing, and we hope to be able to reach closer to 40 in this year.
Sure, fantastic. And for Q3 and Q4, with regards to the updated market listings, what are Bursa Malaysia's aspirations?
Our aspirations, obviously, mm-hmm. we are expecting to see a number of large main market companies come to market. But the popularity in terms of the ACE market will still be there. So in terms of numbers, the ACE market will still be predominantly the more number of IPOs. But we expect to see at least not less than half a dozen main market IPOs between, well, for the full year 2023, including some very large ones.
All right. Considerable indeed. And we look forward to the announcements about who exactly they are.
Absolutely.
All right. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Azhar,
for
making time to join us in the studios for Niaga Spotlight. Right. So with all that said and done, this has been Niaga Spotlight with me, Tamina Kausji. We'll see you again next Friday with more business analysis and insights. Here's to a productive week ahead. All right, so we're just in the background.